Welcome to our adventure, where we take you through our journey of self-discovery to live our best lives. Our destination, our North Star, is actually to live a life beyond our wildest dreams, and we want to invite you to take that adventure with us and hopefully inspire you to take a similar type of adventure.
Okay, let's keep moving forward.
Let's keep going.
Next questions. These center around culture, spirituality, and conscious living. So what moments cracked us open spiritually on this trip?
I mean, if I will start,
it
was definitely the breakdown. I mean, that was before our journey started, which caused that. So I think I think the breakdown really kind of cracked us open. Mm-hmm. You know, it's funny because, you know, our inspired adventure, you know, we're traveling all over the world. Some people might think this is a travel log. I mean, we have gone to some really cool places. But it's also, like we've shared a few times, it's the adventure, but also the adventure, the journey within.
Yeah.
So the breakdown, I think we allowed it to become a breakthrough, a spiritual breakthrough. We knew that going in that direction would help us get to that breakthrough.
I agree. I think that was the first time we really surrendered
mm-hmm.
without really knowing that's what we were doing. But now we've read Michael Singer's books and talked more about the concept. So yeah, I would agree with you. I think that was the part that cracked us wide open, where it was just like, okay, we give up.
Yeah. And then I think each destination had a part in opening us up even more on the mm-hmm. spiritual journey. I mean,
how so?
Well, let's say, you know, England was really, let's start with Hawaii. Hawaii is the first time we ever really slowed down.
Yeah.
I think it's probably the first time I ever slowed down in my life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we go back to, you know, it was like 30 miles per hour everywhere we went.
Yeah.
And it was almost a forced slowdown.
Yeah.
And most vacations we go on, it's like, you know, it's planned,
go.
You know, sometimes we get beach time, but by the time that we actually relax and unwind, it's time to pack up and go. And I love going on vacations with kids. But sometimes you need a vacation from your vacation when you go on vacation with your kids. That's like more work than running a real estate agent. You're with them all the time and you got to entertain them.
Yeah.
And then England, you know, being on the farm, connecting with the land, taking walks in the enchanted forest, reconnecting with nature.
Yeah.
Australia, you know, Michael Singer learning to surrender.
Yeah. That house, actually, that his book was in the house that we rented.
Yeah,
that's how we came across it.
Yeah, Sydney, you know, it's, I think about surfing and, you know,
playfulness,
you know, not fighting the current of life, you know, what happens when you ride the waves in.
Yeah.
And I mean, Bali is just one spiritual destination, how to honor your ancestors.
Yeah, there was a big element of oneness, I think, in Bali, too.
Yeah.
Because like most of the Balinese temples like do let in anybody and everybody. Mm-hmm. So there is kind of I felt very one.
You're right. There was a level of enlightenment there. And with the pyramids of Chi, like the healing really started there as well with the sound baths, with the yoga, the water ceremonies.
Yeah.
Lighting incense every day, you know, and an offering to honor our ancestors.
Yeah.
Vietnam, again, reconnecting with nature, peaceful, learning how to forgive.
Yeah. Forgiveness, kindness. Yeah. Totally.
And then here in New Zealand, it's almost like for us, it's almost like a reset on life and putting everything we learned together
mm-hmm.
to live a happy, joyous, free life, as well as now continue to create the people we want to be mm-hmm. as well as the life we want to live.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, yeah. Great answer. Thank you for that. Okay. Next one.
Are you checking that? Sounds like I just answered that one.
You did. You did a good job.
Thank you.
Yeah. How did slowing down help us hear our intuition? Yeah. I'll happily take that, but I would love for you to chime in because I know you've got some thoughts on that. Just speaking personally for me, because like James just said it a second ago, this is like the first time in our lives we've ever slowed down because it was always something else that we needed to be chasing in our life before we were together. And then when we were together, even more so.
Yeah, we were in the rat race.
Yeah.
But, and I also felt like a hamster wheel at the same time well.
Oh, yeah. All of the above. Rat race, hamster wheel, here. We took a vacation from the hamster wheel to go to the rat race and then back again. But I think for me, I was moving so quickly that I couldn't even hear that. And I was such in a victim mentality because I was moving so quickly. I was taking more on. I wasn't really taking responsibility for my boundaries. I was overwhelmed. So I would make mistakes or I would be late or I would forget to do something. And then it was like, oh, everybody's putting so much pressure on me. So that like there was that element of negativity of woe is me. I'm all alone. It's all on my shoulders. I have to figure it out. I'm the one that has to get us to the next place. Or, you know, like there was that theme in my life. And so because I'm moving quickly and I have that negative energy, like I don't even think I could hear my intuition. And even if I did, it was like, ignore. I don't have time for that. Got to keep going. You know, like the ideas of, hey, maybe you should go take a yoga class. Like, even if my intuition was telling me to go do things like that for myself, it's like, who's got time to go take yoga when I was in that mode? So I think it was just totally stifling it. And by slowing down, there is that space to be like, okay, I'm going to go do pottery once a week and I'm just going to be there and I have the time and I'm going to open myself up to it. And okay, I'm going to go learn guitar with my son. You know, even though I do feel like I still have loads to do, I'm just going to slow down and I'm going to take it and take the advice of people around me and my intuition. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think you articulated it very well. From what I'm learning in my intuitive certification class is that in order for us to hear our intuition, which we've been taught is our sixth sense, is probably our most important sense, there has to be that silence, that stillness. For the first time, I'm understanding what creating space is, as well as holding space. Like you said, before we were such on the go, 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 the ego kept going, the mind kept going, and there was no space for the intuition to come in.
Yeah.
I was, you know, completely out of spirit. But now when I create stillness and space, it allows the soul, the spirit, the higher self, whatever you call it, to communicate with me and give me guidance. And that's been some of the best guidance that I've gotten. Whereas before it was the ego was in charge and it was needed to be in control and it needed to follow the 3-year, 5-year, 10-year plan, hustle.
Hustle, hustle, hustle.
Yeah. Right. Where the magic and miracles I'm learning comes from slowing down and creating that space. That stillness, still working on it.
Yeah.
But even in the year and a half we've had going at this, listening to my intuition has resulted in, you know, magic and miracles. I mean, that's the best way to describe it.
Yeah. You start to kind of see the evidence of it, feel the evidence or see the evidence. And then it's like, oh.
Yeah. And then all these synchronicities, like everything starts to fall in place.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, if I stop swimming upstream and just surrender and create space and stillness and go downstream, like that journey is much more beautiful, is much more loving.
Yeah.
There's a lot more gratitude and joy.
Yeah.
Whereas trying to swim upstream, that's exhausting.
It's exhausting.
Yeah.
Can I tell a story about my Lady Buddha experience in Bali?
I love stories.
Yeah. So I was not originally very spiritual. Before this journey, really, like it was just, I've shared in the past, like it was kind of like whatever was obligatorily, I don't even know if that's a word, I might have made that word up, expected of me. So I just kind of went through the motions. And what's neat about this experience is there's evidence, right? Like and what I say by evidence is like things will kind of fall into place where we're like, whoa, that was perfect. That was exactly what we needed. Or people will come into our world that have exactly what we were looking for. Like things happen where we're like, whoa, it's happening. Like there's something at play here. So those things start to show up. What was a big one for me, the first time I ever felt it inside, like this kind of this groundedness inside was when we were at, I forget what temple it was. It was in Bali. Yep. With the lady.
No, it was in Vietnam.
Vietnam. Okay. So we had gone to see this Lady Buddha, and they're all over. But this Lady Buddha, it was the one that was in the temple.
Yeah.
Not that one.
Oh.
It was the one inside the temple where we took off our shoes and I like left you.
Oh, yes, yes.
So I forget exactly where it was. It was either Bali or Vietnam.
No,
but
it was Vietnam.
It was Vietnam.
Yeah.
So we went in, and usually like I'm all about like, where are the kids and where's James and what's going on? And like all up in a tizzy when there's like lots of people around and lots of things going on. But there was this beautiful Lady Buddha statue that was like at the front of the temple. And I was just drawn to it. Like, I didn't say anything to you. I just walked away, which is so unlike me. Left him with all three kids. And everybody was seated on their knees. And I just sat down on my knees and I just sat there. And I think I closed my eyes. And I had such a sense of stillness and groundedness. It was as if there was a magnet pulling me into the ground. Like, I couldn't even move. And there was a good, like, what, 5 minutes I was there?
At least, yeah.
And then finally, I was like, oh, God, where are the kids? Where's James? I didn't say anything to anybody. I've been sitting here for 5 minutes. And I, like, pulled myself out of it. But there was, like, a sense of peace and stillness. And, like, I'm not a good meditator. But it was that, like, restfulness and listening to or feeling that sense of peace that I think that became, like, a guiding light for me now where I'm like, okay. That is the feeling I want, that feeling of groundedness, of like total peace and total like time doesn't exist. I'm just here in the now.
Which I think you can only get when you slow down.
Totally. Totally.
I think we answered that question.
We did. We really did. Okay. I think we're getting to the end now.
Okay.
We're going to move on to family values and legacy.
Okay.
Okay. What values do we want our kids to inherit from this year?
Ooh, that's a good one. You want to start?
I just talked for a long time.
Values. I mean, there's so many values. One is to be grateful. One is to connect, you know, with spirit, understand, you know, the oneness of our universe and our connection with nature. To follow their dreams and their guidance, right? Not do what society tells them that they have to do, but do what their heart desires. I think that's a big one as well.
Yeah.
Obviously family, love, connection with one another, friendship, joy, playfulness.
Yeah. One term that
adventure, of course.
Yeah. Yeah. The thing that I was going to throw in was expansion. I want them to develop an awareness of the expansion of possibilities. Like it is not one way just because they were born somewhere. Doesn't mean that they have to stay that place. Like I want them to have that because I never did.
Yeah. And I want them to have the freedom to have their own beliefs.
Yeah.
I want them to, you know, oftentimes I can speak from myself is, you know, your beliefs are passed down from your parents or an institution that you belong to or a culture or society. Mm-hmm. And so in a way, I think it made me feel stuck because a lot of them didn't align with me. Like I was even my sports teams, I was a Tampa Bay Bucks fan because I was born in Tampa Bay, you know, but if I was born in San Francisco, I'd be a 49ers fan, right? I was born, you know, with a Jewish mother and a Christian father. So got raised with both of those, but I could easily have been born into a Buddhist family and that would have been.
Yeah.
You know, my belief. So just to have the freedom and the curiosity.
Curiosity.
Right. The wonder of being like, okay, what else is out there?
Yeah.
Right. And do kind of what we've done in life, which is like explore. Right. Explore. Oh, I like this belief. Oh, this belief doesn't feel right to me. Oh, I like this belief. Oh, this belief doesn't feel right to me. And be able to own their own truth, find their own truth, find their own path.
Totally. I love that. That's really great.
And just to understand that anything and everything is possible. And whatever limitations we put on them as parents or society puts on them or any institution or industry, that they are limitless beings and to continue to find that path of how to remove the limitations and what's blocking them.
Yeah.
I also go back to, I would love to teach them. One of my ultimate goals is to teach them to love themselves unconditionally, because I think that is the key to life. That is the key to evolving and living a life beyond your wildest dreams. I think that is the foundation, at least for me, that you can build anything upon. If you have that,
yeah,
anything and everything is possible for you.
Yeah. Yeah. Good.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you for answering that.
Yeah. Also, I'll say one more thing too. It's to embrace the challenges that they come across in their lives, right? I believe that when we come into this life, you know, there are certain accomplishments and lessons that we need to learn. And in order for us to learn those, the universe has to provide us with opportunities. Some mm-hmm. may call it, we're going to be tested. But that when they go through the hard times, that they look at it as just a lesson, right? That this is an opportunity to learn mm-hmm. and not play the victim role. Because oftentimes throughout my life, when the traumas happened, I played the victim role and didn't look at the lessons that could be learned at. Now, you know, fast forward years later, decades later, I can now see the lessons. But at the time, it just felt like I was a victim, that God hated me, that the world hated me, and what's the point? Whereas now I see, you know, that was some of the most growth I've had during those times.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I would also add to that, since we went back to this, like, we're not as alone as we feel sometimes, right? Like, the places that we've traveled to, the people that we've met, we're so alike, you know? So I think also that, like, recognizing that we're all struggling, we're all trying to do our best. Most people are inherently good. There is beauty everywhere. And the curiosity of getting to know those people, learning, exploring, and not feeling so isolated and so alone, and understanding that everybody's pretty much going through something. So how can we?
Yeah, we're all connected. Yeah. We're, you know,
yeah.
We're all in this together.
Together. Yeah.
And not to get too woo-woo, you talked about being alone, is there, I think, is an abundant amount of support and help, you know, that we can't see. But when we slow down and we become still, that is the access to an abundant amount of support and love and guidance and wisdom and teaching and healing that is there for us.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
How are we writing a family story our kids will tell their kids?
I mean, it's almost like a choose your own adventure book. It's what we're doing right now, right?
Yeah.
And there are, in the past year and a half, I think more core memories that we have made with them than I think I had my entire childhood.
Oh, yeah.
Right. So it's just like one core memory after another.
Yeah.
And so I think they will be able to talk about the adventure and going to all these destinations. And I hope that it inspires them to one day do this with their kids. In fact, yesterday, I think it was, when I said, I can't wait to our kids do one of these types of adventure and you and I tag along.
We're coming
to every destination. It's going to be like, it's like your parents. We left to go to Hawaii on this adventure. 2 weeks later, her parents showed up.
And they're here right now.
And they're here right now, which we love.
Yeah, we do. We love it. It's great.
And I want to make sure I have the same relationship with our kids where they're like, mom, dad, you know,
come on.
Yeah. And then have the grandkids like watching them and their world expand because they're doing a similar journey. And I hope what we're learning, Julie and Stella and Everly, will take it to the next level.
Yeah.
Right. So then their kids.
Yeah. And I'll also say, like, added into there, I think that the family story we're writing is one that it's dynamic. It's way more dynamic than I think it ever would have been, because right now, like, we're discussing concepts of roots. Like, where do we want our roots to be? Where do we want our, we call it our sanctuary. Like, what's that place that we will all come back to at the end of the day, our home? But also, you know, having discussions about travel and the world and recognizing that, you know, we'll have that, but there's also so much beauty out into the world. So enforcing the importance of family, of community, of roots, but also saying that doesn't mean that you can't. Like, I think that's what they're witnessing right now. There is a huge emphasis on that because we're involving my parents, your mom's come out to join us. You know, there's like a big focus on it, but also we're out there exploring. We can do both.
Yeah. I mean, I believe that we are here to co-create, right? And they're going to co-create, you know, an amazing life and adventure because they're watching us, you know, do that.
Yeah. So. And they're doing it too.
Yeah.
They're going out into these new locations and making new friends and, you know, blazing their own paths each time we move. So it's a skill set that they're also developing.
Yeah.
Okay. What did this year teach us about abundance beyond money?
Yeah, I will admit when it came to abundance, and if you look at my journal, you know, a year and a half ago and then prior to that, all the abundance was about financial abundance. Never was there an abundance of joy or abundance of love or abundance of healing, but it was all about money. So now I don't think finances have made it into my journal, you know, more than a handful of times in the past year and a half, because my focus, my priorities have shifted. I also have learned that I can receive an abundance of money mm-hmm. when I'm following my passion, when I'm in spirit, when, you know, I have alignment, but also when the abundance of finances come, I don't have to worry about it and I don't have to hoard it. So there's been definitely a shift in my mindset around abundance. And now my goal is an abundance of joy, an abundance of healing, an abundance of wonder and curiosity and connection. Like, that's the abundance that I'm really excited about because, you know, our North Star is to live our best life, a life beyond our wildest dreams. Like, in order for that to happen, I can't just focus on an abundance of finances. Mm-hmm. I have to focus on an abundance of growth and health, evolving joy, and health and spirit.
Yeah. It's that wheel. Mm-hmm. It's that wheel. So we've talked about it in prior podcasts, but James mentioned Zig Ziglar was like an inspirational coach.
Yeah. It's exactly a motivational coach.
He came up with the pie, and it's basically, you know, one piece is finance, one piece is health, one piece is family, one piece is love. One, you know, it's all kind of the aspects of a balanced life. And so that's where the focus is, you know, to live a life beyond our wildest dreams and to be in a position where we can do what we want to do. You know, we need balance. We need it all. We can't just do it with the money, because if our mental health is not there and our physical health is not there and our family is not there, like, that is gutting.
Yeah. But I mean, we've experienced what it's like to have money and be miserable.
Yeah.
Right. And I think it's the double-edged sword. You know, some of the wealthiest people I know are some of the unhappiest people I know as well. It's very rare that you find somebody with a lot of wealth that, you know, has what we want, which is, you know, connection.
Because you really love, have to balance. It has to be an intentional balance while you're building that.
And at the same time, it's learning, like, okay, because I, you know, we've enjoyed some of the luxuries of life. And it's a balance of, okay, well, how can you still live a life of luxury, comfort, responsibly, was still for the greater good.
Yeah.
Right. Just because you go down this path of spirituality and family first, you know, doesn't mean that you have to be in the poorhouse.
Yeah.
What it means is, okay, like you said, what's that balance? And then also look at, like, what is the greater good?
Yeah.
Because if you have those, I believe now when I'm learning, if you have those as your priorities,
I agree.
The byproducts are abundance of finance.
I agree.
But it's also like, what can you do with that finance to help the greater good?
Yeah.
Because it's, you know, like anything else, money is energy and it's the flow of money, and money likes to flow.
Yeah.
Whereas if you hoard it and it gets stuck, you know, it's you're killing its flow.
Yeah.
Right. You got to have it come in, go out, come in, go out, come in, go out.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's that. If I would say, I mean, that's a perfect example of how we've shifted. It's about the greater good, the overarching pie. And
and we still have work to do. I mean, finances still has, you know, still plays on some of our stressing heart strings. I don't know if I said that correctly, but it still causes stress in our life.
Yeah.
You know, especially when we have situations where unexpected financial fires happen.
Right.
It still does throw us.
And I would say, I think it's unfair to say it will ever stop, because you need money. You need money to do.
I think you can. I agree to disagree with you on that one. I think it's possible to get to a point where money doesn't, you know, cause stress.
Yeah.
When you look at it differently, I think, because for me at least, it was such the priority, and especially living in America, especially living in Los Angeles, right?
It was. I agree.
Yeah, I think there are people out there that have got to a point where it's a part of their world, because we need, you know, you need it to live, but it's not something that causes stress.
That's what I meant. Yeah, like it requires focus. It, like all parts of your life, like you have to focus on health and you have to focus on family. There has to be intention, but not all consuming, not to the point. I mean, there were times where we had like ample abundance, and because of what was happening in our world at that time, like I had like stomach aches. I would like lie awake at night. It was crazy, because it just became, the pressure became too much. And when you have more, sometimes you feel like you need more.
More money, more problems.
Yeah. So yeah, I think that balance of becoming more intentional and not letting it dictate, or not letting it ruin everything else.
Yeah. You know, like you said, and the pie chart, it has its place,
It's not the whole chart.
It's not the whole chart. And for me too, what a great lesson that I'm learning is, I used to base my value on the number of zeros in our account, right? And we've had negative zeros in our account. So that's how my value was. And so, you know, to base your value on how much money. And then I also looked at other people. If someone had more money than me, they were superior. If they had less money than me, they were inferior.
Yeah.
Right? And that's just the wrong way to go. For me, that caused a lot of issues in my life, and not the way that I want to move forward.
Well, it's another example of how we would compare ourselves.
Yeah.
And comparison is the thief of joy. Not a quote I made up. Okay. Last section.
Okay.
The hard stuff.
Ooh.
What moment?
I'm not going to say where my mind went to. We need a little humor. It's getting kind of. Jim can't see this thing.
All right, let's get into the hard stuff. What moment made us question our decision?
I mean, I questioned our decision numerous times on this adventure, right? I mean, there are still days that I am like, did we make the right decision? But that's when I'm in ego. That's when I'm in fear mode. When I'm in spirit, I know this is the right decision. I think a big part for me is I'm an overperformer, right? I always have gone the extra mile. I've always been the first one in, last one to leave, and I'll just go, resilience, right? Which, you know, I led me to success in real estate. Mm-hmm. At the same time, you know, it's, I think, what led to my breakdown. But when there are days where I don't feel like I am performing, when there's not a lot of work to do, I feel like I'm wasting my life away. Whereas when I got still, and the thought that dropped in was, listen, you are performing. You're just performing differently. You're performing as a father, as a husband, you know, as a spiritual being, right? Instead of just human doing always. Mm-hmm. And you're learning how to slow down and be still, which is part of your journey. You need to learn how to do it, especially if you're going to try to inspire and help others, you know, live their best lives, which is, you know, one of my goals now in life. A big part of that formula is changing, you know, my performance.
Yeah.
And my priorities. But it's, you know, that hasn't been an easy shift for me.
Yeah. Yeah.
What about for you?
I would say, I mean, yeah, it's
sometimes when homeschooling too with the kids.
homeschooling with the kids, especially at the beginning.
Yeah.
Like, oh God. I would say I like James constantly like, ooh, I hope this is the right decision, or I hope we're not staying away too long, or, but I think for the most part for me, it comes up when like we know that we're missing family functions, or like the kids will talk about missing their friends back home. That kind of tugs at my heartstrings, where it's like, ooh, I hope that this wasn't a mistake. But again, I think that's my ego as well, because in my heart of hearts, like lots of people travel, lots of people change schools, lots of, you know, it happens.
Lots of people live away from their family.
And I think ultimately what we're doing is the right thing for us in this moment. But yeah, I think it's constant. It's human nature.
Yeah. And, you know, again, going back to the financial stress, you know, I know that if I was back in Los Angeles, you know, hustling, our bank account would most likely have more zeros in it, but because I'm not, it doesn't. And so it's like, you know, especially, you know, further down in life, you know, are we making the right decisions, or are we, you know, throwing away our savings? But then I go back to the moments that we've had with our kids, the experiences that we've had, the memories that we're making, the lessons that we're learning. I mean, not to sound corny, but like a MasterCard commercial, like that is priceless.
Yeah.
You cannot put a value on that. And
yeah.
So many people tell us, especially with our kids, you know, that grow up so fast, I don't want to miss that. And I want to have that relationship with my kids where they are my best friend.
Yeah.
Because if I am able to establish that now, that will be a lifelong, you know, the lifelong results from that happen.
I really feel that. I feel we're a team, right? It's not just mom and dad telling Julian, Stella, and Everly what to do. It's, we're a team. Like we go out there together and we tour together and we create together. Like, and they love it just as much as we do. And I feel like those ties, those bonds are getting stronger.
Yeah. I mean, I've said this before in this podcast and I'll say it again. I used to say that, you know, family was my priority. But priorities is where you spend the most time and energy. And my business is where I spent the most time and energy.
Yeah.
It wasn't my family. I mean, maybe my family was a close third, right? My business, money, them. But now, you know, switching it and putting family first has, you know, priceless results.
Yeah. Okay. Last question.
Last question. Okay.
What habit are we leaving behind after this year?
What I'm really working on, and I can't say that I've accomplished it, but it's part of why I went to South Africa and doing the work that I'm doing, is to remove fear and worry from my life. I am on the journey of learning how to be a healer, a shaman, a seer. I don't want to put an identity to it, because I'm also learning how to be intuitive. I'm learning, you know, other spiritual aspects. So I don't want to just identify one. But what I've learned is, especially for healing and shamanism, that fear is the enemy. And I can understand how worry and fear has held me back from reaching my full potential. So I would love to say that I'm leaving behind fear and worry, as well as self-hatred, self-dislike, right? I'm moving into the direction of unconditional self-love. So those are the two. Like I have the habit of criticizing myself. I am so hard on myself. And that doesn't really serve me very well. Mm-hmm. So... whereas one point, maybe I thought it would motivate me, but not in a healthy, loving way. So I would say those two habits, leaving by the habit of worrying and being in fear, and the habit of not loving myself and criticizing myself.
Cool.
Yeah.
I am fear also. The habit of fear is a big one for me. I'm like he's the gas, I'm the brakes, which, you know, Sonia, our mentor, Sonia Chopin, our mentor, has always said to me, like, you know, the fire needs the fireplace, needs that earth around it. If you don't have the fireplace, the earth around it, the fire can get wild.
But I will burn that shit down.
But if you don't have the fire, then it's just earth. There's not much happening right there. So we're a good combo. But what has not served me in the past is my tendency to break comes from a place of fear. as opposed to, okay, let's take it slow. Let's get these questions answered. Let's, you know, get me to a place where I feel good, but it's more of a sense of curiosity. Let's get these questions answered and then make an informed, curious, you know, and make an informed decision based off of curiosity and exploration. But I would come at it from fear. And so it was very painful because it was like severe and I was always worried and I couldn't ever enjoy even the wins. And oftentimes they were wins, but it was me torturing myself the whole way through that when we got past it, it was just like, okay, it's done, which is so sad because then I would rob us of that opportunity to like celebrate and really enjoy the journey. So I'm working on letting go of that and really refining that skill set so that I can be that, you know, I can be that pause that helps us on the journey, but in a much more positive, fun, curious way.
Yeah.
And then the second thing is my tendency to dim my own lights. So, you know, if I know the answer or if I feel like I want to say something, you know, being a little bit more hesitant because I don't want to set us off course or make the waters rough. I'll oftentimes downplay my role, but both because I don't want to be wrong and also because I just, you know, I don't want the responsibility. So I think stepping like this year, letting go of that and really moving into my lioness power and the power that I have as the lioness to be a, you know, a force within this family. And that is it.
That is it. Well, you know, I also want to review, you know, one of the reasons why we're going over these questions is because it is our inspired adventure. And part of doing this podcast is hopefully to inspire you, our audience, to take a similar adventure. It doesn't mean that you have to travel the world in order to take this adventure. Right. Part of this adventure is in the inward journey of finding your true selves, finding your heart's desires, finding your purpose in life, living a purposeful life, living a meaningful life. Now, you might feel that you're already doing that, and kudos to you, you know, for taking that journey. But if you're like us and you're just kind of on that rat race, right, or feel like you're on that hamster wheel, is to have the courage, you know, to get off, right? There may be beliefs and limitations that you have, and to be able to question those beliefs and rethink these limitations that you put on yourself, because from everything that we're learning, anything and everything is possible. Mm-hmm. We are here to co-create, and you can create any life, any reality that you desire. And if you have right now any hesitation or belief like, well, maybe not, maybe for them, but not me, that's the limitation I'm talking about that needs to be yanked out. That's the reprogramming that you need, that hopefully we're inspiring, you know, in you to, you know, look at and be like, okay, I'm ready for this adventure. And it can be fun. I mean, there are points when it's scary, but going on a roller coaster is scary too. But, you know in a roller coaster that you're safe, right? That you're buckled in and that, you know.
Yeah, it can't go too wrong when you, you know, plan, prepare, but also trust in the universe and the support that you have around you.
Yeah, exactly. And again, hopefully we're forging the way, you know, for you. And if you have any questions or thoughts or need some inspiration or motivation, please feel free to contact us. What's going on over
there? I have a friend over here that's flying around. And I'm also just saying, amen.
Amen. After hearing it, it's time to stop.
No.
All right. Well, as always, thank you very much for joining us. And
yeah,
I guess we're
all comments. We'd love to hear back if, you know, any of it resonated or none of it resonated.
Yeah, and this is a great way to end season one.
Yep.
And onward to season two.
Woo!
All right.
Thanks for joining.
Have a good one.
Produced by Audavita Studios. Connect your voice to the world.